What did the Apostle Paul mean when he said we ought to run for the prize? Find out in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us today. We are continuing our series on eternal rewards, which is based on a book I wrote called Eternal Rewards. Now, I'm going to come back at the end of the program to tell you how to get your hands on the resources that we're discussing today. So listen for that. As for now, let's go straight to the Grace in Focus studios with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and myself. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And in the studio with us today is Lucas Kitchen, a Christian author and author of this book that we're going through. It's called Eternal Rewards. It will pay to obey. It's available in our bookstore, faithalone.org/store. You can buy it on Amazon. And you can also get it at simplybelief.com, which is the website for the ministry that Lucas works for. We're very excited about this series because eternal rewards, as we were talking about in the first episode, is something that is so underrepresented and underpreached in the churches today, and yet it is a major biblical theme. Just think about it. Everybody knows this quote from Jesus, and this quote is about eternal rewards. Jesus says, lay up treasure in heaven. Mm. Everybody knows that quote. Doesn't matter if you're Catholic or Baptist or Episcopalian or Presbyterian or Lutheran. We all know, lay up your treasure in heaven. But what does that mean? We were talking about in the previous episode that a lot of people think that eternal life itself is something that you need to win by living and acting and doing. But no, we said that's a gift. What Jesus is talking about there is eternal reward. So this is a huge subject.
Oh, absolutely.
Paul has a number of places in his letters that he uses sports as an analogy for kind of driving toward this goal, driving towards this reward. And if you guys are okay with it, I think it'd be fun to look through some of these verses. But I was interested to know before we do that, what sort of sports or what sort of activities you guys are involved in. Just, I thought that might be interesting to the listeners.
Well, I like all the sports.
Yeah, Sean, you don't like anything.
I like, you know.
His favorite sport is book reading.
No, I like the guys who can put the ball in the right place at the other end of the field, who are very skilled at doing that. I love watching that on TV.
What
and
sport
in
is that?
Person.
You wouldn't know the name of it.
No, I don't know.
We put him in our fantasy football league because we needed somebody to come in last. He doesn't know what football is.
I didn't know the positions. I don't know the players. I didn't know anything.
Well, I do race walking.
Yeah, I wanted to hear about
race
that.
Race walking. Well, in college and high school, I ran the quarter mile and the half mile. When I was in my middle 40s, I started running again, kind of my midlife crisis. And I started up with the 100 and the 200, and then I kept pulling my hamstrings, so I went out to the 400. And then I thought, well, I'll go out to the 800. And I kept extending, and I got to where I was doing 1,500 and then 5,000 meters. Eventually, I got to the point where I thought, well, you know what? I was doing 10Ks, which is 6.2 miles, and I thought, man, maybe I can get to where I could do a marathon. So I started training for a marathon, and I experienced knee and hip problems. And when I went to the orthopedist, he was like, well, you know, you're going to need surgery if you want to keep running. So I ended up and switched to race walking, and I've been doing that for 20 years now. And I enjoy race walking. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, you may need to describe what race walking is. I don't know if we know.
It's kind of, you have to keep your knee has to be straight on every stride, and you cannot have a bent knee when you're making impact with the ground until you're vertical, and you can't have both feet off the ground at the same time. So it leads to this odd kind of truncated motion.
It looks like you're doing the samba forward. Really fast. Just
when I was about 46 or 7, I went to the USA Track and Field Nationals, and I did 30.05 for a 5K, which was like 9 minutes and, I don't know, 40 seconds a mile or something like that,
wow,
which was pretty good.
That's pretty good for me.
And now I've slowed down a lot to where I'm not that fast, but I still compete every year at the World Senior Games.
The Geezer
St.
Olympics.
George. Yeah, the Geezer Jock. Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this as a transition towards our subject. Have you ever won a prize for race walking?
Well, yes. In fact, behind you, I have all kinds of little medals.
Whoa.
And things where I do, like I've done 7 marathons walking, race walking, but I get a little finisher prize for every marathon. And a lot of the race walking, because I'm one of only, let's say, two or three people in my age group, I'm pretty much, as long as I don't get disqualified.
As long as you don't die in the middle of the race.
I'm guaranteed to get
you'll get something.
Gold, silver, or bronze almost every time.
Oh, that's great.
But Paul knew about running.
Most people don't realize it, but they did have some sports mentioned in the Bible. Paul talks about boxing. Mm-hmm. Paul talks about running. They had games called the Isthmian Games near Corinth. You can even go and see where they used to have, instead of starting blocks, they would just dig a little bit into the dirt, and they would run approximately 200 meters. Sometimes they had other distances.
Well, the marathon
comes
from ancient Greece,
course,
right?
Right, comes from ancient Greece. They also did wrestling, and they did boxing. So they had various sports, and Paul talks about some of those.
I thought it'd be fun to go through some of these verses where Paul talks about them. The first one that stands out to me is Acts 20:24.
Paul says, "My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." So basically, Paul is comparing his life to a race, and he wants to finish this race because the Christian life takes training. It can be hard to live the Christian life well right until the very end, just like finishing a race, right?
Right, and one of the points to keep in mind is finishing is so important in the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of Paul, the ministry of all the apostles. Because if we do not endure in our Christian experience, we're not going to receive the rewards that come to those who persevere. Mm-hmm. So even if we're doing well today, if we don't persevere to the end, well, we're going to miss out on ruling with Christ in the life to come.
It's interesting to me that he uses this analogy, because if he were only talking about receiving everlasting life as a gift, I would guess he might would use a different analogy. But here he seems to be looking at sort of the more full picture, which includes this idea that not only do we have a gift, but there's work to be done. There's something to strive toward.
And by the way, a lot of people are going to read that verse who believe in work salvation, and they're going to say, see, if you want to be saved, you got to finish the race. And if you don't finish the race, then you either were never saved to begin with, or you lose your salvation. But that's an assumption that's brought to the text. That's not clearly what Paul is talking about here. Because what's Paul concerned about here?
He's wanting to finish well.
Finishing well. He's not worried about whether or not he's really born again, whether or not he's really justified. That's not on the purview here. He's talking about faithfulness, maturity, living a life that's rewardable.
And it's all in the context. In the previous verse, Paul says that the Holy Spirit has testified in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. He knows he's going to be arrested, and he's going to be chained, and he's going to go through trials, and he could even be martyred.
You know, speaking of finishing well, he follows this idea later in 2 Timothy 4:7, which was written right near the end of his life, and he's looking back on his life, and he says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Once again, he's talking about more than just receiving a free gift. He's talking about the life that he's lived. He not only received the free gift of eternal life, but he did something. He followed this path. I love that he uses what probably is a boxing term. I fought the good fight. I love the idea of imagining Paul sitting in a boxing match. And, and he's imagining, hey, I've been punched before. I've been left for dead.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably really identified with boxing because so many people had punched him in the face.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this verse, fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith, reminds me of 1 Corinthians 9:27. Because long before he's at the point of death, which he's in prison here in Rome and about to be martyred, he says, uses the same language. Sean, could you read that, 1 Corinthians 9:27?
Let me start at verse 24. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." So he's talking to believers, and he's saying, listen, you got to live your life so that you will obtain the prize, right?
Yeah. Right. And it's not a gift. It's a prize.
And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified.
The point is, early in his life and ministry, he doesn't know if he's going to persevere, but at the end, he can say what Lucas is quoting here.
Right. So in Acts, he's saying, I hope to run well.
Yeah.
Here he's saying, he's telling them, you should run well too. But then in Timothy, he's saying, I have run well.
I did it.
Yeah. Right.
He did it. He knows that he's done it. Yeah. Which
and
is
that's
amazing
what thing. We'd all like at the end of our lives, wouldn't we?
Well, and what's so interesting to me is there are lots of people out there that at the end of their life, they are still questioning their salvation. Not only was Paul not questioning his salvation at all, he was not even questioning his performance. I mean, he was confident that he had done what Christ had given him. One more verse that comes to mind is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." Quick comment on that. So when they would run in the games, they would usually run naked. They would throw their robes off because a robe is not good. Like, would you want to do competitive walking in
no.
a robe? I wouldn't. And so they would remove their robes. And so he uses that kind of analogy as we want to throw off the sin because sin slows us down in this race. And then he says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." The ancient method is the judge of the race would be at the end of the lane, and he would be watching, and you would keep your eyes on the judge as you ran for all your worth, and you're basically running right toward him. And it was his job to determine whether you stepped out of your lane or you shoved another person, and he could disqualify you, but you would keep your eyes on him. That would be the way to make sure you get there. And then he finishes it by calling Jesus the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. Pretty amazing analogy.
So he's saying, look at these Olympians, look at these earthly athletes, look at the effort and the concentration they put into winning an earthly race for an earthly prize. How much more should we be living our lives for Christ in order to win this eternal prize?
Mm. Absolutely. And the cloud of witnesses, that's Hebrews 11. Then in verse 2 of chapter 12, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus also was working for a reward. Mm. Who for the joy set before him.
That's good. A big thanks to Sean and Bob for letting me sit in on that great discussion. Now, I want to tell you how you can get a copy of the book that we're talking about, Eternal Rewards. The best way is to go to faithalone.org and go to the store. Now, in the store, we've got lots of books by lots of authors. Every purchase you make there on the store helps us to do more of the ministry that we're currently doing. In addition to the bookstore, we've got all kinds of free resources right there on the site, faithalone.org. You can get a free subscription to our magazine, to our podcast, to our daily blog. You can even watch our free teaching videos. There's all kinds of stuff that will help you grow and mature in your walk with Christ. I hope you'll take advantage of all of that and much more at faithalone.org. Now, if you'd like to become a financial partner with our ministry, I hope that you'd consider doing so. It'd be very much appreciated. You can learn how to do that at faithalone.org as well. One last thing, maybe you'd like to send us a message, give us some feedback, ask a question. The best way to reach us is through our email. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's show, we're going to ask the question, is it selfish to be motivated by eternal rewards? So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus. Thank you.